Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night, and this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we're going to discuss FanFest 13 this past Saturday. And to join me in that discussion, Miss Callie. Of course, Mike. Well, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. Hopefully, they will be ironed out in just a few seconds. But FanFest 13. You know, I say this about probably every NWF show that I go to. But, oh my God, what a great show. I mean, we had surprise returns, we had new champions crowned. It was just an amazing show from top to bottom.
Hello?
And now, Miss Callie has joined us.
Ace, how are we doing tonight?
I couldn't be better.
Nice to hear. So, FanFest 13, Ace, first off, let me tell you, we had a record-breaking crowd. 392 people came out for that event, and they got their money's worth and then some.
Oh, for those absolutely.
For those people who were fortunate enough to acquire VIP tickets, let's discuss that, because we had a unified championship match, the Prodigy taking on Rex. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is your first time seeing Prodigy live. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
Were you or were you not impressed with that young man's performance?
Oh, I was totally impressed. He may have come up short in the match, but I guarantee he gained a ton of new fans.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe, had it not been for the interference of Icon, we could have seen a brand new unified champion.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree, and I hope that Prodigy gets his hands on Icon very soon.
In case folks, you haven't already guessed, Rex did retain that title, but Prodigy got blasted with a chain by the Icon. And give the kid credit, he did get a degree of retribution that night, because we had a Future Stars Battle Royal where not only did you have to survive getting thrown out of the ring, you had to climb to the top rope and retrieve the contract that was hanging on a pole. So, I mean, really, that took some skill. And when it came down to it, well, first off, we had some new Future Stars debut in that Battle Royal. We had Nasir Muhammad Jimbo, and Hugo Santana. Now, I felt these three men did very well for themselves in that battle royal. Of course, they were not who came out on top. We also saw the in-ring debut in that battle royal of my esteemed colleague, Noah Gabriel, who really just, he took it to Sean Evans.
He did, and for somebody making his in-ring debut, he did very well.
Oh, absolutely, and pretty much up until Sean Evans, who was pretty pissed off about Noah eliminating him from that battle royal, got back in and, for all intents and purposes, kicked Noah's face off. I mean, that is one mean individual. And I give Noah props for standing up to him. Noah took
absolutely
all he was going to take and stood up to him, and I have a ton of respect for Noah for that. But, as I mentioned, Prodigy did get a degree of retribution. He was who got in, nailed Icon, allowing him to be eliminated. You know, turnabout's fair play. He did get some retribution. But the winner of that battle royal and gaining a spot, that contract for the main roster, was none other than the big man, DC. Mass props to him, because we see the impact that the Rumble winner from last year has made with Andrew Reed. I think DC could make just as big, if not a bigger, impact.
I have to agree with you there also. I think DC will be a major asset to the main roster.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you know, we had all the fun, the excitement of the games. We had the kids had a water balloon toss. We had a dunk tank, which the fans took great pleasure in getting guys in there, such as Jay Donaldson, Ryan Stone, and even Nate Pelly. I had to laugh. I had no other choice. I found that priceless. But
you know, when I heard Nate Pelly was going to be in the dunk tank, I almost made my way over there.
Ace, you should have. I know you may not have a great arm for throwing sometimes, but $10, automatic dunk. And that would have been $10 well spent.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, just saying, when you get an opportunity like that, don't pass it up. But speaking of Jay and Nate, let's talk about the match that was for control of the Northern Wrestling Federation. You had the self-proclaimed 22-year-old stud, Jay Donaldson, with Nate Pelly in his corner, taking on Austin Tyler Morris with Roger Ruffin in his corner. Now, of course, protected one's rules.
Of course.
That was Nate's decision. So, you know, I can't say that I feel the least bit sorry for how that match went, because they brought that taser into play once again. That same taser that cost Jordan Clearwater his career in the NWF, which I have a feeling that may change. People that were fired may find themselves employed again should they choose to come back.
I could definitely see that happening.
Because they brought that taser into play again. They tried to throw water on ATM and use that taser. However, Roger Ruffin prevented them from throwing it on ATM. But in the midst of Ruffin and Nate Pelly struggling for that water bucket, Jay Donaldson got doused. And ATM managed to get a hold of that taser. So I can't say that I feel the least bit sorry that Jay Donaldson got pinned and the protected ones and Nate Pelly lost control of the company. And it is back in the rightful hands of the man, Roger Ruffin. And I am telling you now, the crowd was ecstatic about that.
Absolutely, they were. That crowd came alive at the end of that match, and control of the NWF is back where it belongs.
Exactly. Speaking of people with control issues, let's dive into that Money Changes Everything match where Sinclair Octavius Bentley took on Big Rig with the stipulation if Big Rig lost the match, he has to be Sinclair's butler for the next 60 days. Now, Bentley pulled out every underhanded trick in the book. He even tried to get Big Rig to get himself disqualified by striking him with a chair. In the end, however, Sinclair was able to pick up the victory. So, unfortunately for Big Rig, he will be the butler for the next 60 days. For Sinclair Octavius Bentley, otherwise known as the SOB.
He certainly is.
That's the politest way I can say that. The NWF Tag Team Championships were on the line as the protected ones, David Tyler and Muldoon, took on not only the Natty Boys, but also the Bronze Swingers. These six individuals brought everything they had to the ring for that match. The Natty Boys even brought a manager, which how shocked were you to see the return of the Duke?
You know, I was shocked, but I can't say I was disappointed because I was actually thrilled to see the return of the Duke.
Hey, the Duke even got in on the action. He got a couple good hits in himself.
Yes, he did.
However, your winners and brand new NWF Tag Team Champions, I cannot believe I'm about to say this, the Bronze Swingers.
I think I'm as shocked as you are at the conclusion of that match.
Not to discount them at all, because they have been very successful as a tag team. But I really thought the Natty Boys had that match won a multitude of times throughout the night. In a tables match, we saw the genuine superstar Anthony Bryant take on Lord Crew, who I might add, probably had one of the most spectacular entrances of the evening. I mean, there's
absolutely
no choice about it. Led to the ring by Wildcat Chris Harris, came riding in on a Harley Davidson. That was cool.
Yes, it was very
cool. Wildcat Chris Harris in the corner of Lord Crew actually prevented Lord Crew from going through a table when the genuine superstar speared Wildcat through a table when he was actually aiming for Crew. Cat moved him out of the way, took the hit himself, showing that ties do still run deep between him and Lord Crew. In the end, however, we saw Lord Crew pick up a victory as he hit that orange crush through a table on the outside on the genuine superstar. I could not believe Anthony Bryan could even move at all later that evening, because that was a hell of a hit.
Yes, it was.
I mean, there's just no way about that. That was brutal. Speaking of somewhat on the brutal side, we had a legend, what we called a Legends Tag Team match. NWF Legend Virus teamed up with the Prince of Sports, the absolute best, Lexus Montez, to take on probably one of the most, if not the most, legendary tag team to have ever set foot in the NWF. Nasty Russ and Team Money, the Thugs. Now, you want to talk about really four individuals that know each other quite well. Lexus isn't quite as familiar with Team Money, but let me tell you, those four gentlemen tore it up. There was nobody was holding anything back in that match.
Absolutely.
And it could have went either way.
And if you're a fan of tag team wrestling and you get a chance to watch that match, watch that match.
It will show, though, in the record books, the Thugs did come out victorious, although not really to anybody's surprise on that. Just for the sheer fact, Nasty Russ and Team Money have teamed together for years. This was the first time Lexus and Virus have ever teamed together. So you had to give that experience edge to Team Money and Nasty Russ on that. But then after the match, Team Money and Russ decided they were going to attack Lexus Montez. And this is going to point out one of those big returns we saw. Samson came out, made the save on Lexus Montez. I mean, how live was that crowd when they saw Samson head to that?
That crowd again went absolutely bananas. I, for one, had to pick my jaw up off the ground because I was definitely not expecting Samson.
No. Took out Nasty Russ, took out Team Money, came to the aid of his friend, Lexus Montez. And let me tell you, I was thrilled to death to see Samson return. We haven't seen him in, probably almost 2 years now. So to see the return of Samson was definitely, it was definitely cool to be there for that.
Absolutely.
In what we called a fight for pride, you saw the king of the fight, the Titan, taking on the golden boy, Jordan Clearwater. Titan has made some very questionable moves and decisions as of late, not the least of which was putting his hands on Jordan Clearwater's girlfriend. Now, I'm going to tell you, she came in, she physically got involved in that match, trying to do what she felt was right with regards to Jordan. Titan, however, went to hit that double stomp. Clearwater came in, covered his girlfriend to take the impact of that blow. Completely enraged after that. But then, as the refs were seeing to Clearwater's girlfriend, we had another amazing, shocking return when we saw Country Wild Matt Stevens. Came out who you would have thought he would have come out to aid Titan. He came to the aid of Jordan Clearwater, laying the Titan out, assisting Jordan Clearwater in picking up the victory over Titan. And you know what? I'm not so sure we've seen the last of Matt Stevens.
You know what? I hope you're right. Matt Stevens is somebody that I would love to see back in the NWF on a more regular basis.
Oh, absolutely. In a fatal four-way, as I'm sure you very well know, you have no friends, only enemies. It is every man for himself. We saw Pompano Joe taking on Kimba, taking on Jeremiah, taking on Christopher Michael Lotus. There was so much action in that match. I felt sorry for the guys calling it. The commentators trying to keep up with that match, trying to call that match, I truly felt sorry for them. In the end, however, you saw Pompano Joe look like he had the victory when Jeremiah came in, threw him off, and stole a victory in that fatal four-way.
Like you said, every man for himself.
Absolutely. Although, while I'm sure the competitors realized it was every man for themselves, I really think Pompano Joe was a little put off by the fact that Jeremiah actually did that.
I would be, too, considering they were tag team partners and best friends.
Right? For the NWF Tri-State Championship, we saw Hollywood Adam Swayze get his rematch against the Star Rider. If Swayze lost the match, Gideon Weinstein would get his head shaved. Talk about another spectacular entrance there. I have to give Swayze credit. He pulled out all the stops, which I think everybody really did. Everybody stepped their game up when it comes to FanFest. So, but I mean, he even pulled out all the stops for his entrance.
Oh,
as
absolutely.
As always, you see Swayze accompanied to the ring by not only his co-star Rex, but Gideon Weinstein as well. And while it was a very valiant effort by the Star Rider, and it really looked like Gideon Weinstein's involvement was about to backfire again, and I really thought it had, because he did clock Swayze with the title. It looked for sure like Swayze was going to lose and Gideon was going to get his head shaved. Somehow, Swayze managed to pull off the victory. And he is once again the Tri-State Champion. You know we're never going to hear the end of that, correct?
Oh, I know. That's why I'm not looking forward to having them on here next time it happens. Because I know that's all we're going to hear about.
I know. And then in the King of Rock match, you saw Mr. Right Now, Andrew Reed, taking on Jesse Hyde. These two individuals have gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and know each other quite well. Andrew Reed, however, was the better man on this night. Started to beat down Jesse Hyde after the match, when out came Pompano Joe and Jeremiah. Pompano Joe with that boombox once again. and it looked as though they were going to beat down Jesse Hyde. But Pompano Joe laid out both Andrew Reed and Jeremiah with that boombox. Ace Diamond, could we be seeing a hippies reunion?
It certainly appears that way, and let me tell you, that gave me goosebumps.
Really? Goosebumps?
Yes, because I've always been a fan of the hippies from way back, and the prospect of them reuniting really, it gave me goosebumps.
Absolutely.
Because I think they could be a major force in the tag team division.
No doubt. And, you know, if Jesse Hyde and Pompano Joe are on the same page and they do start tagging together on a regular basis, that could spell trouble for the new NWF Tag Team Champions.
Yes, it could.
One of my absolute favorite matches of the evening. Was the ultimate ladder match to crown the inaugural Women's Revolution champion. You had newcomer Kayla Cassidy. You had the Daughters of Darkness, Ella and Selena Dean. And you had Nikki Victory out there. I think a lot of people were kind of hesitant about the women being in a ladder match. I'm going to tell you, within the first minute or so of that match, any hesitation that anybody had about those women being in that ladder match was put to the wayside because they brought it.
Yes,
you
they
saw
did.
Girls
that was
amazing. Impressive.
All of the above.
I mean, at one point in the match, and actually you had probably a really good fee for this, you saw Nikki Victory dive from the top of the ladder to the outside, taking out her opponents.
Yeah, I had a great seat for that. And honestly, I was scared she was going to overshoot and end up in the crowd. But I am so glad she didn't.
And while the Shadow did try to interfere, that was cut short. And our very first, our inaugural NWF Women's Revolution Champion, an individual that I felt really deserved to win that title, Nikki Victory.
Now, wait a second. Let's go back a minute. How exactly was the Shadow interference cut short?
You know, I'm not sure I remember, but it was cut short, and that's the part that matters.
Okay, then.
This night was about those women, and let's just say the right woman came out victorious.
I will wholeheartedly agree with that.
The fans were ecstatic for that. And that's all that mattered.
Absolutely.
We also had what we called our mystery match. A man who has been on a tear for quite some time, Big Cuz, had to take on a mystery opponent. Now, the first individual he took on was actually one of the future stars, Kid Comet. And needless to say, while Kid Comet did his best and did rather well for himself out there, Big Cuz was able to pick up that victory. But Andrei Makarov had alluded to a very famous masked wrestler. Now, obviously, Kid Comet being new kind of led you to think maybe Andrei was just, you know, fooling around. Oh, but Andre was not wrong. Out came Big Cuz's true opponent. Impact Hall of Famer, the Monster Abyss. Who I might add, defeated Big Cuz in 2 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yeah, the crowd was absolutely wild for that match.
Let's just say they were very delighted to see the monster show up.
Absolutely.
And then in your main event, it was a triple threat match for the NWF Championship. Ryan Stone would put his title on the line against legendary Larry D and Mr. Golden Ticket Josh Adams. These individuals went back and forth, back and forth. They put their bodies through hell in that match. And there was more than a few times you kind of wondered, is Ryan Stone going to retain that title? Is he going to be able to maintain that vice grip he has had for over a year? And then that moment happened. You heard the ref count 1, 2, 3. And the new NWF champion, while it was short-lived, legendary Larry D. And in what I'm going to call a very shocking turn of events, and the only reason it was shocking was the way he went about it. I don't think anybody, including yourself, was surprised that Josh Adams had decided he was going to cash in his golden ticket.
No, it was a perfect opportunity to do it.
But the fact that he took a chair repeatedly to Larry D before he cashed it in order to lay out the best hand in the house and become the brand new Northern Wrestling Federation champion. I truly think the crowd was in disbelief. Not that Josh could become champion, but the way he went about it.
Absolutely. The way he went about it was shocking, to say the least.
I mean, I was in complete and utter disbelief that one of the biggest fan favorites had done what he had done. Had it been we'll say a Jay Donaldson, a David Tyler, even Adam Swayze, nobody would have batted an eye. But the fact that Josh Adams sunk to that depth, sunk that low in order to gain the Northern Wrestling Federation Championship, what kind of man is Josh Adams? He is obviously not the kind of man everybody thought he was.
Absolutely not.
And he's going to owe the NWF Army a lot of answers.
And I'm looking forward to hearing those answers.
And the person he owes even more answers to? Legendary Larry D. Somebody who has had Josh's back over and over and over again. Matter of fact, it was Josh Adams' idea to have Larry D in that match.
Yes, it was.
So, was that the plan all along? Have that third individual in there that way, regardless of if Ryan retained the title or Larry got the title. He was going to take whoever it was out and then cash in his golden ticket. Is he that devious and calculating? I don't know, but I definitely want some answers.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say for himself.
That makes two of us. Fans, if you were not at FanFest, make sure you check out Bustin' Loose, see some of the highlights of that event, buy the DVD when it comes out, and be sure you join us this Saturday night at 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place. Remember, folks, the doors open at 6 with a 7 p.m. bell time to catch all the fallout of FanFest 13. Ace Diamond, have a good night.
You do the same, Miss Callie. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for our show tonight. Be sure to join me next week, right here, Wednesday night, on Matt Chat. Have a good night, everybody.